Again, this is Alan Nass in Westfield, Indiana. January 9th, 2018. Okay. Now that we've rightly divided Paul's two ministries and Paul's two sets of corresponding epistles, let us turn to rightly dividing Paul's post-Acts epistles. I'm going to title this lesson, Rightly Dividing Paul's Post-Acts Epistles. Now, this is a work in progress, but it addresses my difficulties in understanding the use of the past tense in Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. It addresses the many people who were already teaching and preaching the gospel of the mystery before Ephesians, Colossians, and 2 Timothy. For example, let's go to Tony Post Ephesians 3, 1 through 9. Ephesians 3, 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to word, that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now we notice in there, he said in verse 2, if ye have heard of the dispensation, which is given unto you. So here we have some past tense language in verses there. Wherefore, the grace of God given unto me is grace given. And let's go to Ephesians 4, 10 through 13. In Ephesians 4, 10 through 13, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So when did he give these appointments? Because this is before he wrote Ephesians, so this is in the past. Let's go to Philippians. I'm going to skip down to Colossians. Let's go to Colossians 1:23. Colossians 1:23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made or became a minister. So here we have, for you Greek scholars, we have some words that are in the aorist tense. Don't ask me what that is, but it's a past tense. And in this one we have, which ye have heard, and which was to enter, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, became a minister. In Colossians 1:25, just two verses down, whereof I am made a minister or became a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. So, what I've had problems with in the past is these past tense words, and all the people who have been working with in spreading this gospel history. And we know that from Acts 28, 30 to 31, that Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Now, these 2 years was Paul's first imprisonment in Rome, but he was bound there for the hope of Israel, was he not? And let's not dispute about years, because these 2 years, I've seen 59 to 61, 61 to 63, A.D. 62 to 64. That really doesn't matter, but he was there for 2 years in prison in Rome, bound for the hope of Israel. Now, when we go to the other references to his bondage, we'll go to Philippians, and you may not have to post all of these, but I'll just read them. Philippians 1:7 says Paul is in bonds. Ephesians 3:1 says the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Ephesians 4:1, the prisoner of the Lord. 6:20, the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Well, in bonds in okay, where did you lose me? Okay. Anyway, there are several references there to Paul being in bonds. And in 2 Timothy 4:16-17, it says, at my first answer, which could be my first trial or first defense, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now, I believe this refers to his first imprisonment in Rome. So we know that Paul was in prison twice. Now, I'm being a student of Welsh, and maybe I'm the only one that sees it this way. Maybe you guys see it differently. Maybe I'm behind or not. Student of Welsh, I was of the understanding that the 4 of the 5 prison epistles were written during this 2 years of house arrest in Rome. The pastoral epistles were written during Paul's release, 1 Timothy and Titus. And then 2 Timothy was written during the second prison time Paul had in prison. Now, I don't know if that's the way you guys see it or not, but a couple of weeks ago, I was having breakfast with Brother David Bickle, and many of you know Brother David Bickle, and he handed me a little booklet called the Post-Acts Gospels, and it was written in memory of a guy named Harry Myers, who compiled some interesting thoughts before his death in March of 1998. And I don't know many of you know who Harry Myers was. I've heard a little bit about Harry Myers from David Bickle. I have a son that lives in Linton, Indiana, and that's where Harry Myers lived. And as I understand it, Harry Myers did not finish high school. He was a transmission mechanic. He taught himself Greek. He labored in the word of truth. And he was a great brother in the mystery. So this booklet was written in Harry's memory, some thoughts before or after his death. So I would like to share some of them with you tonight. Now, I'm still searching the scriptures to see if these things be so. So this is a work in progress. So bear with me. I'm going to read with you four paragraphs from the first page of this booklet. And Harry says, What is the post-Acts gospel? It is the gospel that God gave Paul after Acts 28:28. The seven epistles written after the events in the book of Acts contain the whole post-Acts revelation. This is the gospel we have in Ephesians 1:13, 3:6-8, and 6:19. This gospel had come to Colossae by the way of Epaphras, to Ephesus by the way of Timothy, to Philippi by the way of Paul, and to the rest of the world by way of the men mentioned in 4:11, Philippians 15, 1 Timothy 1:3, and Colossians 1:7. I hope you're taking notes faster. Now, according to Colossians 1:6, God had been performing the good work of the secret in them long enough to produce fruit before Paul wrote Colossians, Ephesians, and Philippians. This gospel was a message of the secret which God gave to Paul after Acts 28:28. Prior to Paul writing it, he had spoken it along with the men of Ephesians 4:11. Please consider this. How could a new gospel only a few months old come to the Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians, and even to all the world and every creature under heaven, and bring forth fruit in all the world if these epistles were written during the 2 years of house arrest described in Acts 28:30? This could not be possible. Consider the time that elapsed from Paul's first preaching in Jerusalem to the time he preached the gospel during the book of Acts. It took 16 to 18 years. Therefore, the great revelation of the secret would have taken more than 2 years to reach the whole. Paul, Timothy, and Epaphras had preached the message of the secret. The post-epistles were written. Colossians 1:4-6, 2:7, Philippians 4:15, and Ephesians 3:1-9. This accounts for the past tenses in these epistles. Therefore, we have to place these epistles in the time of Paul's second imprisonment. It is certain that the gospel that Paul preached after Acts 28:28 is the gospel of the secret or mystery. So, thus, the gospel he was preaching was the gospel of the secret, which is the post-Acts, and God would perform it until the appearing of Christ in glory. So, so what Harry is saying is that he believes that Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Philemon, and 2 Timothy were all written in the second imprisonment of Paul. So, consider this scenario, and we'll check it out. We'll search the word, but he says Paul. Harry says that Paul, as a prisoner, arrived in Rome in about 59 A.D. from Jerusalem. He was in chains for the hope or expectation of Israel and remained so for 2 years. He was not in prison, but in his own hired house or rented house. In about 61 A.D., after his 2 years of house arrest, Paul was released. Being now free, he makes his first I would call it his fourth missionary journey from Rome. Paul goes to Lystra to get Timothy, and together they go to Ephesus. Timothy stays at Ephesus to do the work described in 1 Timothy 1:3 through 4. See if I have that written here somewhere. And he says that I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables or endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now Paul goes on to Philippi in Macedonia. And this is in Philippians 4:15 and 1 Timothy 1:3. Philippians, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And of course, again in Timothy 1:3, which we just read, he said, as I beseech thee to abide at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, which is where Philippi is. So this is the beginning of the post-Acts gospel. And here he writes his first epistle to Timothy, who is at Ephesus. Leaving Philippi, he goes to Thessalonica. And after spending some time at Thessalonica, he goes on to Troas. And then to Miletus, which is 2 Timothy 4:20. And upon leaving Miletus, Paul goes to Ephesus, 1 Timothy 4:13, where Timothy is ministering. He then goes on Crete, which Titus 1-5, where he leaves Titus. From Crete, he goes to Nicopolis to spend the winter, Titus 3:12. While in Nicopolis, he wrote his epistle to Titus. With all this freedom and travel, he was going to send Artemas and Tychicus to Crete to replace Titus so that Titus could go to Nicopolis. This is all done before the second imprisonment. So we would ask, when were the post-Acts epistles written? Did Paul write Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, 2 Timothy, and Philemon during the 2 years of house arrest, as recorded in Acts 28:30, or later in his second imprisonment? If Paul wrote them during the first 2 years, or for the years, there is a problem with all the past tenses and aorist tense in these epistles. This would put the action back into the Acts period, and the secret or mystery would have to be put back there too. That is impossible because Paul had only spoken through the Acts period things found in Moses or the prophets. So, that is an interesting observation. There is another addendum to that scenario. Let me find it real quick. Okay, when I go back and I read all the post-Acts epistles, it really seems to make sense. I'm sorry. I thought I had something marked here. I'm looking for it. Be patient. So, I guess what he's saying that the epistle Paul wrote would be 1 Timothy. And then he wrote Titus. And then, when he was put back in prison, he wrote Ephesians. Then he wrote Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon with Timothy, because they were all written by Paul and Timothy. And then he wrote 2 Timothy, which is his, sort of his farewell letter to Timothy with instructions to Timothy to continue on the work of the mystery. So here is another scenario with some of the additional names added in some of the other post-Acts epistles. So Paul got there first time in 59 A.D., He stayed 2 years in his own rented house, during which time he taught the apostles and prophets and evangelists, the pastors and teachers, his revelation of the secret. This revelation of the secret consists of the exaltation of Christ in the above heavenly places as described in the post-Acts epistles. The above heavenly kingdom in these epistles is Christ's greatest exaltation, where he will appear with his church at the right hand of God. Now, I'm reading from Harry's booklet. Upon Paul's release, he began the work as described in post-Acts epistles together with the men of Ephesians 4:11. Let's turn to Ephesians 4:11 and see who he's talking about there. So he's talking about the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Now Timothy, who was left at Ephesus in 1 Timothy 1:3, Paul goes to Philippi, Epaphras went to Colossae, Titus went to Crete. They revealed and preached the secret gospel, 4:15, Colossians 1:7, and Titus 1:5. Later on, Titus goes to Dalmatia, and Demas forsook Paul at his trial and went to Thessalonica. Crescens went to Galatia, 2 Timothy 4:10. Erastus remained at Corinth. Trophimus was left at Miletus in 2 Timothy 4:20. Paul sent Tychicus to the Ephesians and then to Colossae, which is Ephesians 6:21 and Colossians 4:7 and 2 Timothy 4:12. The sending of these men was before Paul wrote any epistle. The believers that Paul wrote to had already believed and embraced the message of the secret, Ephesians 1:13. If we put the books of Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians in the 2 years of Paul's house arrest, we fall into the hands of the mid-Acts people. By doing so, then the gospel, the secret, and the revelation goes back to the Acts period because of the past tenses in the epistles. No, this is not true, because Paul acts that he had not said anything other than what Moses and the prophets had said. Later in Ephesians 3:5, he said that what he was preaching was not known in other generations. This preaching was post-Acts. So without going through all the details of those names and people and where they were ending up, I have sort of tried to Google what other people had to say about Paul's fourth missionary journeys. Get a lot of stuff and a lot of different scenarios. But I believe that in rightly dividing the word of truth, I think these other folks, first of all, don't understand that these things could not go back into the Acts period, because the mystery was revealed after Acts 28:28. And when Paul was in prison in Rome, he was instructing and teaching, you know, all those that came in. He received them and taught them things concerning the kingdom of God, which is God's overall kingdom and overall plan, and the things concerning Jesus Christ. Well, that certainly could be the body of Christ, with Christ as the head. The mystery. So there is nothing said that prison epistles were written in the first imprisonment. They could have all been in the second imprisonment of Paul. And when you read Titus, 1 Timothy first, and read Titus, realizing this is when all these guys are out and Paul was released and doing his missionary work with all these people in these different locations. Then you go back and read Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians and even Philemon, 2 Timothy, you now have all these things have already happened. So the past tense or the aorist tense of these post-Acts epistles makes more sense. And I just got this book. I took it to Florida with me last week, and I just read it on the way down there. And I was frantic working on several projects down there for my daughter. And early in the morning and late at night when I had some free time, I would pick this up and study it and start going through some of these verses. So it's still a work in progress. And that's about all I have prepared for this evening. But if that gives you the, this is like a hidden treasures in the Bible. This is like the mystery of the mystery to me. It's kind of an aha moment when I see how Harry saw this. And I don't know where this book is. I don't know if anybody else has it or seen it. Dave Bickle gave a copy, and I have to return it to him. But I don't know, Ronnie, if you have any like that in the book here. It's called The Post-Acts Gospels in Memory of Pastor Harry Myers, who compiled these for his